neozaz.com.
X gon' give it to you. Fuck, wait for you to get it on your own. X gon' deliver to you. Knock, knock, open up.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the NeoZaz Deadpool special, hosted by myself, Matt, from the Negative One podcast.
And of course, his co-host, Thomas, from the Negative One podcast.
And we reached out to Matt from the NeoZaz Empire and just kind of said, look, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Negative One podcast, guys, we're huge on Deadpool.
Yeah.
We're massive. I have been a fan since I started reading comics. He was my first character.
And
Thomas is a recent convert because I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
So please, for the love of God, can I please do a Deadpool special? And he didn't argue pretty much at all. He's like, whatever.
So and then 3 days later, Chris did the micro movie review before we could touch on it.
But it's not a gigantic special.
No.
So what we're going to do today,
this is
breakdown.
Deadpool.
This is
all Deadpool all the time.
This is pretty much just me getting an hour or two to nerd and freak the living shit out.
Yeah.
Because I got what I wanted after 11 years of being a comic fan and that horrible abomination. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we will.
We wanted to release because I think Deadpool is going to be a pivotal shift in comic book movie history. And as weird as it said, that sounds coming out of my mouth. This is something that means a lot to me, but I think it's going to mean a lot in the landscape.
So
let's break that shit down.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about how this is the, not the first big rated R comic book movie. It's the first big rated R superhero movie.
So we're going to have to talk about the R rating on this film.
The hard R.
It's a hard, hard R.
Hard,
and I have
like
actually
my
got myself involved in a lot of flame wars on the internet over it. So we'll probably have a whole dedicated section to what rated R means. But I wanted to kick this off for people who don't know the background and history of Deadpool, right?
Yeah.
They don't understand the comics. Maybe you guys haven't seen the movie yet.
I've heard from people who have seen the movie who only saw it as this big, media juggernaut on TV.
Yeah.
And it was like, I've never heard of this character before. Who is this guy?
So I do want to talk
internet
about
superhero.
Pretty much.
It's true.
I do want to break into that a little bit because it's hard to nerd out and nobody's like got a baseline with me, right? And so the other reason that Thomas and I wanted to be the ones to do the Deadpool special is because I'm a longtime loyal. This is holy crap. But Thomas, you're a recent convert. So
I've known of him.
Yeah.
And I've been a fan, but I didn't know a lot about him.
So our perspectives are different.
Yes.
Because I'm walking in as a fanboy who could have my hopes and dreams crushed.
Yeah.
And you're walking in as someone goes, hooray, another comic book movie.
A comic book movie that might be more akin to my adult taste and I won't feel like such a nerd walking out of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
But what I wanted to baseline this out for people who are not familiar with this character, let's just, first of all, now our introductions are mildly out of the way.
Yeah.
Thomas and I host the Negative One podcast on the NeoZaz Network, where he and I make each other watch the movies we get yelled at for not seeing. Shameless plug, but we do have a dynamic when talking about movies that'll come up here. How did that make you feel? How did that, why did you or didn't you take this in? And you'll probably see that come up, but just know that a lot of our movie dialogue is driven by that. Our first episode, why haven't I seen Ghostbusters? Yes, that's a thing. Go check it out. But we like to break apart movies in that respect.
Sure.
So we're going to keep it high
because
level for everyone. But then we're going to break it down. And what does this mean for me as a fan? What does this mean for you as a viewer? What does this do to the landscape?
But let's talk about, if you're not familiar with Deadpool, if you don't know anything about the guy, we need to talk about where he comes from, what this is. Because he's a special character. He's special in every way that you can make special mean.
So we're going to go high level Wikipedia entry first.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Wade Wilson, AKA Deadpool. He was first introduced into the Marvel canon on the X-Men Mutants side of things in New Mutants issue 98.
Yep. As a villain.
As a villain. He actually came out in, it was February of 1991, which
Good
makes me
Lord,
real happy we're the same age.
Such a nerd.
I am. And actually, look, it's right there.
I know.
It's right there.
I know.
I'm so proud of it. I own it. But so, February 1991, Deadpool and I are the same age, hooray. But the character in the beginning was just supposed to be like a lethal force that the New Mutants, this group of people that were kind of X-Men cast-offs, had to deal with.
He was a filler when Fabian, I can't say their
Fabian,
names.
Fabian Nicienza. Yeah. And then Rob Liefeld.
Yep.
Nicienza was the illustrator. Rob Liefeld is the actual creator.
Yeah. Both of them wanted to put together something that just kind of pushed the story along of right. the New Mutants and then pushed it into what became X-Force, right?
Yeah.
So they needed to have this under this background shadowy dude, Tolliver, needed to kind of put a hit out on the New Mutants and the X-Force.
Yeah.
And that was done by creating Deadpool. Now, what they were doing with Deadpool was just ripping off Slade Wilson, Deathstroke.
Right.
And both of them are known for doing this.
Yeah. They do it all the time. Darkseid versus Apocalypse versus...
and sometimes it's throwaway characters, and that's what they thought Deadpool would be. It was this kind of guy that they could throw in every once in a while when they needed to move the story along.
Right, and he's the ultimate assassin.
Yeah. Well, that's what he was at first.
And eventually, I mean, and this is typically how Marvel or DC will work. They'll have a minor character. Someone will go, that's neat. So then what do we do with it? Right?
Yeah, the costumes, add something to
it. Yeah, the costume's cool. Or we can pair this off here and then start to write something brand new and new, you know, and interesting. Or let's expand the mutant universe or expand the Weapon X project and create this weird variable in there. And so that's where...
That Weapon X project. Who hasn't been part of Weapon X yet?
At this point...
I'm pretty sure you were created by Weapon X.
That's kind of where Deadpool came to fruition. Is not necessarily... because he was the great assassin, it's because they used him to flesh out other stuff.
Yeah.
And he kind of came to prominence when Joe Kelly took the franchise over and decided to run with the character. Mm-hmm. And he put out, 100 issues. It's just an exorbitant, a crazy amount.
So here's the thing.
Of Joe Kelly written Deadpools after that, which really fleshed him out as a person and character.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. So you mentioned that. Now, I've read some Deadpool. I've read some of the comics, and I know of his history and this, that, and the other. But it wasn't until after I saw the movie, which I already knew these things that happened to him, you know, that he gets cancer and he has the regenerative powers and all that.
Yeah, and it's established early on.
Right, but I had never read those issues. So what I did after that was I went out, and it with my morals less than Deadpool, found somewhere on the internet, lying around like in the back alley in a box, something, every single everything. That Deadpool's been in almost not everything, but pretty close. And I started reading them in order. In fact, I asked you for a reading list and you gave it to me and I was like, but that's not how backgrounds work.
It's funny. I get a lot of requests or questions from people. They're like, I know you're the Deadpool obsessed dude. Yeah. So where do I start? And my answer is actually usually to start with the Daniel Way run. Mm-hmm. Daniel Way. So Wade Wilson himself, he became part of the Weapon X program. If you've seen the movie now, you know, it's actually completely accurate. So that the origin story they do in the movie is damn close. Mm-hmm. There's some small things that are different, but it's damn close. Mm-hmm. Has cancer. It's killing him. Joins the Weapon X program. He gets regenerative powers, but it also makes the cancer just as aggressive. So he becomes a deformed, psychologically damaged mutant.
Right.
Who cannot die and can regenerate.
Not a mutant.
Or whatever.
He's not a mutant.
Well,
he's a mutate.
There's a difference. But the reason I like the Daniel Way run, mm-hmm. and I recommend people start there, is because Daniel Way does Deadpool's mental illness, his psychosis, perfectly.
And that's after it's been established, but before it has been tweaked.
Yes. Right? So Deadpool's origin isn't touched on with Daniel Way. But the character is fully fleshed out. His sense of humor is 100% there. Mm-hmm. And from Daniel Way issue number one, which is him versus Bullseye, and that whole arc kicks off. From that issue forward, mm-hmm. Deadpool is locked. His personality isn't growing anymore. He grows a little bit over time, but you're getting the full picture.
He's already been fleshed out.
So yeah, Daniel Way wrote, I want to say... 52, 53 issues of Deadpool plus one-offs, and then it was turned over. But I feel like that big, giant run from Daniel Way touches on Deadpool as a complete character the best. And then I recommend going back and getting into the origin story. Deadpool's origin is not necessarily as important as the actual fully fleshed character, because his mental unstableness is what makes him fun, his constant fourth wall breaking and things like that. It's in full force by the time Daniel Way takes it over. There's some really good important reads to go fill in after that. So then I recommend people go back to No, New Mutants 98, which is easier to get a hold of. They just did the True Believers edition and released that again as a like for a dollar.
Because of the movie. Yeah.
And
he's only in it for a couple of panels.
Yeah, and then I recommend move forward. Go through Joe Kelly, then read the X-Force stuff, then read yourself the Deadpool and Cable series, which that's actually where Deadpool got popular. Cable was a pretty big deal in the Marvel Universe. He's Scott's son, Scott Summers from X-Men. It's his son from the future who gets pushed back with time travel and transporters and a whole bunch of fun shit. But when he pairs up with Deadpool, this really strict future soldier pairs up with this really ludicrous fourth wall breaking annoying person.
Annoying. And that's the important thing.
He's really
annoying. He was the comic relief in this book.
Yeah. It pairs up very well. And that's when Deadpool kind of started exploding. And then the internet happened. the internet took
this dude. I want to say the internet popularity of this guy happened before. It actually happened towards the end of Joe Kelly's run, and then after his piece of it, that's what kept it going as long as it did. And I'm using some information from a website that I found that I thought was really, really interesting. It was a criticalhit.com, and there's an article on there called "You Don't Know Merc: A History of Deadpool," right?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm basing my reading history off of, because I can't do what you just suggested people
it's
do.
It's hard. People really hate not going in order. Mm-hmm. And it's but I recommend doing the same thing with Batman. It's funny. If someone wants to get into Batman, I tell them to read Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
And that's when he's like on his last leg and about to like pretty much croak because he's old.
Right.
But you learn so much more from the fully formed character.
Mm-hmm.
You get more out of it that way.
See, and I would...
How did this person come to be this great figure that I like?
And I would go with year one. You know, do Dark Knight Returns, which I have... Unfortunately, you've told me not to read it. I've read it since then. then year one, which it goes from the end of his life to his struggles in trying to get to that point.
Yeah.
Well, I can't. I can take different Batman stories and just read them out of order because it's Batman and who cares. But it's tough for me to do this with him because he turns from a complete villain to a likable character to a crazy person to a crazy likable character. But it goes in a certain order, and there are things that happen in his life that happen in chronological order.
Yeah.
So I've read New Mutants, right? Then he has, there's 24 episodes, issues of X-Force that kind of lead up to the Circle Chase, which is the next thing that Deadpool's in on a regular basis. Yeah. He's in the X-Force ones from here and there, but of those 24 issues, maybe three of them or four of them have appearances by him, and they don't really explain his part.
Yeah.
But they explain what's going on in the world as it pertains to the Circle Chase. And the Circle Chase was good.
Yeah, Circle Chase is a lot of fun.
It was the first time that you see him as kind of... It's the first time he does anything good ever.
Right.
and it's the first time you see him with some humor interjected. Because the rest of the time, he's really serious.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to make some one-offs. He quips a little bit like Spider-Man, but not very well. And he's more serious than anything. And then the Circle Chase happens, which is a funny set of four books.
Yeah.
The next time you see him is like 3 years later in Sins of the Father. Sins of the Past.
Yeah.
Sins of the Past is a four issue limited series that makes him...
Thomas.
I know, I'm overdoing it.
Yeah, we're not going to go down every issue.
But no, I'm not. This is just where I'm at, okay? Yeah. So I read that, and that's where he becomes a human.
Yeah.
He has thoughts and emotions. If you read it the way that you say to read it, you're just going to think he's nutso fucking psycho.
Well, but that's why I think you should get used to the arc and where the character becomes and then grow into it later. That's just how I recommend reading it. Because if you get into it at the beginning... And you have this really vicious killer who's super cold.
Yeah.
But then you go see this movie and you're like, well, how the fuck did that happen? It doesn't line up.
I get
and
that.
And the reason that Deadpool's a staple is
you're
for
right.
The latter.
I could go over this piece by piece
Let's not.
And I won't.
But what I want to talk about more with the history of this character is how it appears in cinema. Because they actually fucked this character up pretty bad. And then now they're trying to do a little retribution. I think everyone's familiar with what
X-Men Origins.
And
Wolverine.
Oh man, So
why was he even in that film?
So here's the Fox's control over the X-Men has been extremely frustrating as an X-Men fan and as a reader, mm-hmm. because they're trying to find ways to expand the universe, but then they never do anything with it. Or they half-ass it. They're just trying to get more and more characters on screen to keep it fresh.
Right.
And then figure out if there's somewhere to go with it. So X-Men Origins was them trying for the first time to say, let's focus on a character, mm-hmm. right? And see if we can start some standalone franchises.
Well, and
which they were trying to do for Wolverine.
Wolverine. And then it was an actual... There was Wolverine Origins. That was a whole storyline.
Yeah, it was. They tried to do it in the universe so that Fox could expand. They didn't have the rights to the rest of Marvel. They needed to grow somehow. Mutants is pretty limited. So the only way to really get into it is to start doing standalones. And that's normal. I mean, that happens in a lot of franchises. The problem is that they focused so heavily on Wolverine and making Wolverine relevant that they were willing to pull in whatever properties they had access to and just make them whatever they needed to be for the script.
Mm-hmm.
So this is actually where the Deadpool film starts, because they get Ryan Reynolds on board to play a smart-ass wisecracker. Wade Wilson. Yeah. They get him on board to be Wade Wilson, which is appropriate. I don't know if anyone out there has seen Van Wilder, but as goofy as a comparison it is, the fact that Ryan Reynolds delivers like he does in Van Wilder, mm-hmm. the sly smirk but real dry delivery,
mm-hmm.
that's how Deadpool works. That's how Wade Wilson is. It's a great cast.
And he can rapid-fire that stuff out.
Right. He's super fast. Mm-hmm. So paired with the right writer, you can nail Wade Wilson with this calculation. I actually think this is probably the best casting on a Marvel character I have seen in a long, long time. Even way back then in 2009 when this film came out. Perfect pairing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem. They got Ryan Reynolds obsessed and fully delved into the Deadpool character by giving him the entire back catalog. He wasn't a comic book nerd when he was growing up. Marvel and Fox kind of gave him access to the vaults, and he became fucking obsessed. It just became his favorite character. Mm-hmm. They're both Canadian. He had a little bit of pride in that. And then just how witty he was, he realized, oh shit, this is perfect for me.
But wait a second.
But then...
Hold on a second. You just said something that I'd like to call out.
What?
They're both Canadian.
They are.
They're not.
Deadpool is Canadian.
But he's not. But he is.
It's murky.
Oh, but there's
a pun there. Murky.
Because Canadian citizens can't serve in the U.S. Army.
Yeah, it's complicated.
But he did.
Big old loophole. Special Forces is weird. That's why they kind of call him as a merc. It's just a really easy way to solve that problem. Yeah.
So that's the thing is, it depending on the writer, things get changed. And it works with this character, and that's common in comic books. But it works with this character because who the fuck knows if anything that he says is real life or not.
Well, it doesn't matter that he's Canadian because they fuck the character up so bad in X-Men Origins. Yeah,
well,
they use him as a vehicle. They got Ryan Reynolds obsessed, but then they bastardized the character so heavily when they put him on screen.
Weird and Baraka and...
Yeah, Baraka's the easiest way to... I don't know. They just tried,
right?
They tried to use that Weapon X idea and mm-hmm. use Deadpool as the super killer to create the perfect counter villain, because Sabretooth wasn't really around in Wolf Origins right. enough. There, it wasn't there yet.
Yeah.
They had to do some menacing opponent. They chose Deadpool and they fucked it up. But that yeah. lit a fire under Ryan Reynolds' ass.
They needed somebody that had the healing factor that was as much as Wolverine's.
Pretty much.
And the only one that's got it as good as Wolverine's is Deadpool.
Right.
And that's a shame.
But I'm... It's funny, though, because in retrospect, I'm so forever thankful that that film was so shit.
Mm-hmm. Because
overall,
it caused this one to be
so
made
this isn't fair. I actually think X-Men Origins is not bad. I don't think it's necessarily a bad movie. I think it's better than X3 was.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
But
it was bad enough that they couldn't make another one.
But thank God that they pissed Ryan Reynolds off so bad, because then he got so obsessed with doing Deadpool right, and he was so off-put by it, it set off pretty much 10 years of freak out.
Yeah, of bugging studio.
Right. And so he spent the next, I mean, solid, like 5-6 years of his life convincing them to give him a shoestring budget and prove it was a good idea to do that character.
And so isn't it that he went to an animation studio to put together that leaked test footage
mm-hmm.
so that he could then bring that to Fox and say, see, look, this will work.
Yeah. essentially.
He paid for that.
So they decided,
as far as I understand,
to do a gigantic CGI piece
yeah.
to prove the concept of
Ish,
the film.
Yeah.
Much like a pilot for a TV show, mm-hmm. but pilots, they will provide budget for pretty large. You do a whole episode, then they just loop it into the season.
Right.
Films, you can't do that.
Right.
So they did this 6-7 minute test footage thing, and the movie kind of or the movie studio just tabled it. They're like, yeah, it's here. Thanks. So magically, some way,
via
somehow,
the magics of the internet.
Who knows? This will be the murkiest guessing game for the rest of this character's history. Yeah. Someone leaked that test footage. It got out either a year after it was complete, whatever have you. And it fucking blew the internet apart.
Yep. I remember the day that it leaked. You told me about it. And it was hard to find because they pulled it down.
Yeah, they pulled that shit fast. But thank God.
And then after that, it became easy to find.
Thank God for Reddit. Deadpool is a film by and pretty much for Reddit, even though now they're rebelling hard because they're sick and tired of seeing the advertising.
Yeah.
Reddit kept on, just people on Reddit and different forums. I mean, the Chans, everybody wanted this footage to get passed around.
So basically, the dregs of the internet made this movie happen.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Because all of us had fallen so in love with that character independently for...
Oh, he was pretty much part of the dregs of the internet.
I can neither confirm or deny. Now, I will say, if I had leaked that test footage, I'd be damn proud of myself. Yep. Because Ryan Reynolds has openly offered to open mouth kiss whoever did it.
You want an open mouth kiss?
I'm just saying I would...
Well,
I would not decline. Now, I'm a happily married man. I'm a happily married man. But let's be real. Ryan Reynolds is...
Only if he's in the mask.
Right. That's exactly right. Because
open mouth with the mask.
This is getting weird.
Well, Deadpool is pansexual.
It was the explosion of that damn test footage that did it, though.
Yeah.
And thank God. Yeah. I love that the internet.
It was beautiful, that test footage, which, of course, it was. They put it in the first 15 minutes of the film.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Essentially. They changed some of the jokes, but it's there.
Changed some of the jokes and... expanded it a bit.
But the fervor was so loud from the internet. And I guess this is always weird to me. Media penetration or cultural penetration is a real part of how marketing firms decide whether to invest or not to invest in something. So essentially, for every view you get online, there's a ratio of people they believe will pay to go see that in a theater. The test footage, when you combined all of the views, all of the posts, all of the dialogue, the studio kind of got to the point, they're like, well, here's the deal. We think we can probably make 100% of the investment back with maybe a 30 to 40% profit.
Yeah.
So we're going to give you
which isn't great, but not bad.
But that means we're going to restrict your budget.
Yep.
Fine. Ryan Reynolds, shut up. Go make your movie and leave us alone.
Yep.
And that's just how it came together. It's weird, but awesome, because number one, it was the power of a dude who got converted into a true nerd, right? Mm-hmm. It's because he sat down and read the damn things. And he just said, this needs to be out there. This is what people want to see. And I love this. So I'm going to do whatever it takes to get this damn thing made. And this is Ryan Reynolds. I mean, he had a string where he was, he was the sexiest man alive for People magazine. And he was just destroying at the box office. Now, he had a slump, but... even through all of his acting highs and lows, this is something he cared about the entire time.
Yeah.
This is what he wanted.
And that's something that somebody at work and I were talking about. You know, you've got Ryan Reynolds in Van Wilder, right?
Yeah.
What else? I mean, I know he's done other things, but what else has he been really good at?
I really like The Proposal. Let's be real. Because he mostly did rom-com shit.
It was good, I guess.
He did rom-com
stuff. But he wasn't a household name because of that.
No.
What else is Buried? Buried was actually pretty good considering it took place in a box, but
it was... Lucky Number 11. Or no, it wasn't. It was Smoking Aces, which he's fantastic in that.
Okay.
But...
not a blockbuster film?
Yeah, he did. He kind of did like the outskirt stuff. He wasn't a gigantic thing, but he would sell fucking tickets. That's for sure.
Right. And he'd do okay.
Then he stopped selling tickets.
He's eye candy.
Well, Waiting. He was in Waiting.
What? Now Waiting.
Yeah. He was in that.
Between You and Me and the Wall, Waiting was wonderful.
You know, you just admitted on a public podcast.
Ugh.
So between me, the wall, and the internet.
Right. Yeah. But it also makes me uncomfortable. So, you know, going back to what we originally talked about, the background of this character.
Well, now, wait a minute. He was also in The Proposal. He was in Adventureland. Mm. He was in Smoke and Ace and Just Friends. So that's where he started doing the big rom-com stuff. He was in the remake of the Amityville Horror, which did really well.
Yeah.
Blade Trinity. He actually, that did pretty damn well. It didn't do great at the box office, but he was out there.
Anyway, so history of the character. So guy gets cancer. Guy gets signed up somehow for this project. Guy gets superpowers. Guy's always been kind of a piece of shit, but now he's a piece of shit who can't be hurt that bad.
So now what do you do?
So now what do you do? And what's interesting is he starts to want to be a hero, but he doesn't want to stop killing people. And I read something, and I don't remember where I read it, but it puts this in perfect perspective. He wants to be a hero. He's done some bad shit, so he tries to go on and be a hero without the benefit of a moral compass.
Pretty much.
That is pretty much Deadpool.
Yeah.
So, until later.
Having belabored the point.
And then he gets crazy.
He goes insane, but this is where I want to talk about the comic history and where it overlaps with this film and why it's so important that this is rated R.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm talking hard R.
Mm.
This movie is RR pegging. Fucking R. Yeah, pegging.
That's a thing.
So let's, from now on, spoiler central, if you're still listening and haven't seen Deadpool, this is a Deadpool special, we're going to start spoiling shit.
Yeah.
In the comics, and this is why all that origin's important, we're talking about a man who started off as a special ops, then mercenary, ruthless killer with absolutely no compass. Pay me money, that person's going to die. He gets superpowers, his life gets fucked up, and he starts losing his own mind. And it starts to gray a little bit on what he should actually do with himself and with his life. So you keep all of the super violence, you keep all of the lewd behavior and humor,
mm-hmm.
and you just inject superhero around it. That doesn't constitute PG-13. If you go through the history of Deadpool in the comics, they're some of the most violent, just aggressive. Just, it's bad. And I love...
And it is funny when you see, like, when he's guesting in another book, they make mention of the violence, but they don't show it.
Right. But then the other thing, too, is that he's a healer, and he has no moral compass, which means being mentally disturbed, he'll shoot through his own body or let himself be completely destroyed if it gets the result he wants.
Right.
So... I like to point out in the new run, which Jerry Duggan just did, issues 1 through 45, or 250, whatever, started a couple years ago. Jerry Duggan and Brian Posehn, they did the Dead Presidents run, which is like the first 6 issues.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to call out, in the first 6 issues, Deadpool, well, not Deadpool, but...
Bearpool? That's a thing.
Former President Gerald Ford, notoriously clumsy... One of the very first issues of that run trips over his own dumb zombie feet and falls face first into the rotary blade of a helicopter. I want you to imagine all of the graphic detail involved and then add about 100% more blood and chunks. And that's what happened in that comic. Yeah. Deadpool versus Carnage is an unbelievably violent run. You have...
So...
It's just, there's so much just strict... vicious violence. He constantly gets ripped in half. He constantly loses limbs.
And I think that they touch on that in the film when he beheads and dearms a dude. But, you know, he gets shot through his arm or hand.
Oh, yeah.
He looks through the hole and sticks his finger through it. So I think they touch on that. They don't overdo it, because if you overdo it, you're going to make some people sick.
Yeah.
Even people who like that kind of thing can only deal with so much. So they didn't want to make it torture porn or anything else.
The one thing I will say about the hard R rating is that the comic books never typically have as much sexual humor as the film did, but that's not necessarily a bad part of it.
I would say that they do.
It's more sparse.
Sparse.
So, but when you release a rated R comedy, you're going to throw more dick jokes into it than you typically would.
Why not? We do. Just
fucking dick jokes all the time. Yeah. But that was the one thing, because I hyped a whole bunch of people up to go see it. And I just told them, I was like, look, this is my thing, right? I promise it's good. You finally have a chance to get into it. Go see Deadpool. Mm-hmm. I promise it'll be good. And they'll come back and they'll be like, that was awesome. That was hilarious. It's a lot of sexual humor. And I have to go, now, wait a minute. One caveat. comic isn't necessarily like that.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's just like you said, it's...
It's mostly fantasy, though, because he spends so much time in the comic being marred with cancer and his head's all fucked up that he can't get ladies. It's mostly all in his head.
Right. He talks about boobs a lot. He talks about naked women.
He's Romery.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, that translates into on the big screen, you know, where did this come from? In his relationship with Vanessa in you know, she was a whore. So... I mean,
Marina Baccarin plays a whore pretty much everything. in Firefly, yeah. In Homeland, she's sleeping around.
So
in this, she's sleeping a lot.
Yeah. So, but they do make mention of. In fact, Brian Posehn has come out and said, "Deadpool's pansexual.
Yeah,
he'll fuck anything.
That's why he loves Peter Parker so much.
He likes dudes. He likes girls. He likes aliens. I've read somewhere he's submissive in bed. So, you know, the fact that he got one of the scenes that you spoiled for me because you heard about it.
Yeah, I had a one word spoiler and it was somebody posted up a news article and Google News didn't filter the spoilers out. Damn it. And it just said, we need to talk about the pegging scene in Deadpool. And I hit you up immediately. I was like, Thomas, never for kids. Like, I have seen a one word spoiler.
That tells me this is not for anybody under 18.
Never. 16, and it will never be able to be cut down because the fact that there's a joke on the premise of pegging,
which was great.
It was just fucking hilarious.
And fits so well. So what pegging is when the woman takes a phallic strapping instrument and gives it to the man. And it has to be a man because if it's another woman, that's just lesbian sex, I guess. I don't know. I'm not one of those.
I don't want to have this whole conversation, but...
But when it's the woman dominating the man in that way, it's called pegging for obvious and creepy reasons.
What drives me crazy about the whole rated R
pegging?
There was a massive controversy because somebody's putting out a core superhero film, right?
Well, first of all, he's not a core superhero.
And that's the thing. Number one, he's a secondary character. Number two, the comics have never been for kids. When you talk about Captain America or Superman or Batman, they're the big iconic juggernauts. They're going to have some family-friendly runs or things that you can work around. They're iconic and you can do them in an iconic fashion. If you're going to do a bottom of the barrel, disgusting, ugly character, you need to make a bottom of the barrel, ugly, disgusting film. It's how it works. This is why Edgar Wright jumped off of Ant-Man. Because the original Ant-Man, Michael Douglas's character, Hank Pym, fucking wife beater, alcoholic, abuser, mega maniacal.
Not a good dude.
Awful, horrible dude. And Edgar Wright wanted to go there, I'm assuming. And Marvel said, tone it up. Tone it up. We can't do that. We have to be friendly.
Because he wasn't just going to be an Ant-Man film. He was going to be part of the new Avengers, which he is.
And Marvel asked him to tone it down and not really get into that dark area. I'm assuming. I'm making a lot of assumptions here. And Edgar Wright's like, no, that's part of the heart of the movie. Now, that's why I can make the assumptions on that. That's why Edgar Wright dropped. Because he said, they tried to change the heart of my film.
Yeah.
I wasn't willing to do it.
So...
But when you do something like fucking Deadpool, who's built and premised on being mentally disturbed, being ultra violent, being sexually all over the place and super lonely, and a absolute smart ass lunatic fourth wall breaking part, like rated R is how you have to do that.
Part of this, I got to call this out. Part of this is naivete of
absolutely.
The parents. Because here's the thing. And part of this is Marvel's fault. So you've got, you know, X-Men and Wolverine and the X-Men, which was a comic book show. You've got the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon show, which is really good. Well, Deadpool's been in both of those.
Yeah.
But those are on, like, Cartoon Network and Nick, right? Yeah. So you can't have anything over the top. No, you really can't. So you get this kiddified version of Deadpool, which works. And... It's funny, but then now you have these young kids who are fans of that character who like those episodes where
you put Deadpool into Lego Marvel, like
right.
You almost
fun.
Half of the property owners, Marvel is letting them clean it up. And Fox finally said, you know what, that's fine. This is a character for adults. We will let you do it the adult way. Mm-hmm. And I actually, my most upvoted thing I've ever done on Reddit somebody posted the article about that mom that started the petition. Mm-hmm. I won't let my son see this movie until they remove the sex. And I posted on Reddit. I just went on a rant. I'm like, why is it everyone else's job to lessen the content they want so that you don't have to be a parent?
Yep.
That's the problem. Is number one, it's rated R. You know your children shouldn't see it if it's rated R.
Mm-hmm.
Period. That's what R means. Doesn't mean parental guidance. That's PG. It doesn't mean parental guidance until the age of 13. That's PG-13. It means it's for fucking adults. It's rated R. And the news was constantly saying, like, it's censored in this country, it's banned in this country, which, fuck them. I mean, leave media and content alone, but no censorship. It just cracks me up that parents were like, but my kid wants to see the superhero movie. It's like, well, good. That's the problem.
Civil War is coming out in May. So go take your kids to that.
So fuck off and go see the superhero movie. This isn't a superhero movie. It's a mercenary movie. A guy has superpowers. Whoop-de-doo. It's not a kid's movie. No. It was never intended to be. And I don't know. I lost my shit.
And there have been, you know, Kick-Ass is a superhero movie.
Yeah.
You know, it really is.
But it's not.
But it's not for kids.
And the other thing that set me off is that I will say for anybody getting exposed to Thomas Knight for the first time, I'm a Christian dude. Like, I mean, I know I'm sitting here talking about the most violent character ever. Yeah, but
how many more F-bombs are you going to drop there,
but,
buddy?
But one of the things that made me insane was there's a whole nother set of backlash where people were just saying they're using the Deadpool comics as an excuse to make a filthy movie. And I went on a massive tirade and I told this guy, I was like, look, your perspective is fucked. Your perspective on this is fucked because this character has always been this way. And this is the first film that's doing it completely faithful. So let's talk about, and he said something about, you know, I like that Marvel and Disney pair together to make wholesome films from wholesome characters. And I said, I'm going to stop you right there. You're wrong. If you don't want to see this because it's morally weird, I appreciate that. Just because you're an adult doesn't mean you have to enjoy rated R films. Like, I'm queasy. I don't do horror films. And I also don't appreciate, like, torture porn. Like, I don't like true crime shows, or I like to watch people. Yeah. So I stay away from them. But to call the Marvel franchises on the whole a wholesome bunch is incorrect. Tony Stark is a violent drunk.
Yep. And they touch on that on the Iron Man.
Yeah. Hank Pym beats his wife.
Yep.
Black Widow is an assassin and murders Hawkeye's entire family in more than one arc of Marvel history.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows if that'll come up in Civil War or if they'll finally do that with her. Bruce Banner's killed how many innocent civilians?
Right.
That's a huge deal.
And they talk about that.
And then you have, let's see, what else?
Daredevil.
You have Daredevil, who used to be a trained murderer and assassin, and still contemplates murder all the time. He's trying not to be a murderer anymore.
Yes.
His counterbalance is Punisher, who murders the shit out of everything.
Which also was a Marvel movie.
Yeah, you cannot...
That was rated R, by the way.
You can't call Marvel on the whole a wholesome thing and then just get upset because they put out... it's not an excuse to do a rated R film. Mm-hmm. If anything, it's the most true comic book movie that's really been put out. They didn't clean it up. It doesn't mean you have to see it, but you can't criticize it on those grounds. You're wrong. It's just wrong to do that. Sorry, rant, soapbox moment. That just drove me crazy.
This is the... And it's Deadpool-centric. It is about comic books.
So I want to ask, and most people who've seen Deadpool... We all knew it was going to be rated R. We all knew it was going to be a hard R. I did. There were kids in my showing. Were there kids in your showing?
I didn't notice so many in mine because I went late. So, but what happened was we got there a little early and they were running long. So the movie that should have started at like 7:30 or 8 or whatever time, we actually didn't start it until half an hour after. So we're standing outside the theater waiting in this little special waiting area. And then... You know, they let the previous showing out. And I look, there were more than one, I would say 12 and unders. You know, I have a 12-year-old son. He is not seeing this movie. And he likes Deadpool.
Did you know he shouldn't see it before?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we talked about it. But he likes Deadpool. In he's been exposed to a couple of issues of the comic book.
Mm-hmm.
They've been ones that I've given him that I have pre-screened. And that's important. But he's also seen him on like the X-Men cartoon and the Spider-Man cartoon. He likes the idea of him, but I've told him you're too young to get too far into this.
Yeah.
This is not for you. It is for adults. And he understands the difference between, you know, a movie or TV show that's for adults versus him.
So what happened when those 12 and unders walked out of the theater?
I looked at Lindsay and said, I hadn't seen it yet. And I said, that's a mistake. And some of those kids came out looking shell-shocked. You laugh.
I know, I feel bad. That's shit parenting. That's still an excuse.
I did not notice any in my actual showing, but what I have noticed is people talking about it on Facebook and on the internet about how, you know, oh, I had to leave halfway through. Oh, I'm sorry, you got halfway through with your 8-year-old? Maybe you should have left a long time before that.
So here's my child screening thing. I actually saw Deadpool on opening night twice. I'm proud. It's okay. I'm proud. And when we went to the first showing, it was 7 o'clock. It was the earliest ticket time I could get us on that Thursday.
Yeah.
Everyone's loaded into the theater at like 6:30. Everyone's super excited. Yeah. We got our seats well in advance. So we were sitting dead center, middle row, perfect seats.
Deadpool center? No. Took the easy one.
All right, I'm going to carry on anyway, and I'll jump off the bridge later. So everyone's filed in. Everyone's excited. The theater's buzzing. It's like it's like nerd energy. And everyone's like, and they're so excited and happy. And then the movie's probably going to start in a minute. They're going to start the credits. And I start hearing groans from the back row. And I turn, and all I see is a dad walking in his high school letter jacket, and he's wearing a flat bill hat, white dude with a little bit of swagger. And I'm like, okay, why are people groaning? And then there's a lady behind him, a blonde, kind of a blonde, maybe early 30s lady, but an inordinate amount of distance behind him, like 15 feet. Mm-hmm. And they're walking at the same pace in the same direction. And I just keep hearing moans and groans. And I start hearing some people on the edge of the rows booing. And I finally kind of crane my neck up and they get close enough. Two little boys had to have been 7 years old.
I would have that because I didn't see it. I would have gotten up, especially being the first
and people
showing,
just kept booing. I mean, literally the room started booing like, what is wrong with
you? And went up to them and said, you do realize that this is not for, because you already knew about the pegging.
Dude, they ID'd me. I have a like gray all over my beard and they ID'd me to make sure it was a film I wanted to see.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Thanks for checking. But I was stunned. And then they just went up and sat in the front row and everyone's just shaking their heads.
Did they make it through the entire movie?
So a few minutes in, you see dad usher one of the kids to the back. To the back of the theater.
Uh-huh.
And then they came back up. And so I guess something in the early on with the violence set one of the kids off. And then I guess they had to keep reaching and covering there. But later in the movie, spoiler alert, there's a condom joke. And so a condom joke gets made and the whole audience laughs. I actually got caught on a Reddit. Someone's like, this didn't really happen. I'm like, you're fucking right. It did. It absolutely happened. Whole audience laughs at a condom joke. Quiets down. It's a quiet pause in the theater because two characters are kind of staring at each other. And the little kid in the front row goes, what's that mean? And the entire theater heard it and started laughing again. Yeah. And it's just like, what the fuck is wrong? Why is he still in here? Right. Why is he in here? The condom joke's probably like an hour and 15 in.
Because the sex scene before that couldn't have been all that comfortable.
I don't know, man.
Because it was a pretty graphic.
I don't know. But
and also the stripper.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, why are these children here?
I don't fucking get it. Just be a parent. Like, and you know what? If you want to take your kid to that, that's fine. Be ready for the conversation afterward. That's okay. Maybe this is how you want to have the birds and the bees. This is how I'm having. Yes. This is
Deadpool.
This is how I'm teaching my kids about the birds and the bees.
You're the worst parent ever.
No, I might be the best parent ever.
Ugh.
I don't have kids yet. Child services can't do shit. If you want to have the conversation with your kids, if you're willing to accept the outfall, if you walk in, just know it's rated R. It should have been rated R. It deserved to be rated R. Yes. And it's pretty.
And here's the part that bothers me about this. You know what's going to happen? Deadpool and Cable, which is going to be Deadpool 2.
Spoiler. Whoop.
Not really. At this point, is going to be PG-13.
No, it won't.
You don't think so?
No. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. So we've kind of got four big categories we want to talk about with Deadpool today. Number one, the history. We beat it to death. Two, this film and kind of what happened. I mean, that's what we're doing now. Then I want to talk about the impact. What is this movie going to do to every other comic book movie?
God, I hope it makes them all at least PG-13.
And then finally, perspective, right? Because you were not hardcore into Deadpool when you walked into the theater. Mm-hmm. You had cursory, and I was. So I want to talk about the difference. But yeah, if you're willing to have the talk with your kids, that's fine, but it's not my fault, and it's not the theater's fault, and it's not the studio's fault.
Right.
It's on you, and it's up to you to deal with that. Be a parent, and this country is kind of addicted to outrage, and I feel like it's really easy to target films for that and just say, oh, this is unacceptable. Like, you don't have to turn it on.
What bothers me more is the people who allowed their kids. You know what? You didn't know. You know, my mom doesn't know a damn thing about video games. So she wants to buy a video game for my son, you know, as a grandma wants to buy. And so she asks me, what can I buy? Because she's smart and she knows that I know more about it than she does. But, you know, my mom didn't know about comics when I was a kid. Of course, she didn't think that that was anything that would have been in a comic book. You have to know. You have to be able to. You have to know what your kids are doing.
So I had
into.
Yeah, I had a reverse moment of this. I had a moment where this will be just a fun sidebar. I had a movie I watched with my parents that I didn't know what I was subjecting them to. Ryan Reynolds is in it. Funny enough, coincidence. Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. The ad campaign for that movie didn't sell it as a stoner comedy very well.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't sell it as like an R comedy very well. You just figured it was rated R because
they say F a lot.
Yeah.
Right.
So my parents were like, that might be funny. And you're 17 now and we'll rent it. Let's rent it and we'll watch it as a family. Well, my dad's uber conservative. My mom will passive aggressively laugh at anything, but we were watching it. And it gets to the scene where they start making a joke about that mechanic's wife.
By the way, I've never seen it.
You haven't? Okay, so they make a joke about H-Clap and this dude's wife, Thomas. One takes the front, one takes the back.
Yeah, I know
and
what H-Clap
they're
is.
Getting ready to do it. And I'm sitting in a room at 17 years old with my mom on one side, my dad on the other. My dad gets offended when there's boobs on TV. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. I failed at sheltering my parents. I'm a horrible, horrible son. What have I done? But yeah, I've had a reverse crisis on this.
Yeah, I couldn't do that.
It was hilarious. It's one of my favorites.
Chinese finger trap.
It's one of my favorites.
What it's called.
What?
Finger trap.
Is this something that you've heard in the military?
No. Chasing Amy.
Oh, I've not seen that.
Are you fucking kidding me?
This is what our whole podcast is about.
This is what our podcast is about.
I know. So I guess I'll have to watch Chasing Amy for an episode soon.
You've seen Kevin Smith's stuff, right?
Yeah, Chasing Amy's the only one I haven't.
Oh, my God.
I've seen Mallrats. I've seen, you name it. I've seen it, but I haven't. Yeah, Chasing Amy's the only one I haven't.
Just stop talking. We didn't plan this. This wasn't a plug for our podcast.
But it happens.
But it does happen. This is exactly what ours is
about.
So
anyway, the other thing.
Oh, my God.
So I want to talk, since we beat the history of the comic to death, I want to talk about how the comic actually pushes and plays into the film. The answer to
like
how does it do it is fucking well. Like, it does it very fucking well.
It's definitely the tone.
Yeah.
So one thing about Deadpool, which, you know, if you're not a big fan of him, you wouldn't know. He's known for breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah. Meaning he knows he's in a comic book.
He knows he's in whatever media he's in, and he does it in everything that he does. From the video games, there's a video game that I used to own. It was Marvel versus Capcom or 3, and he's a character. And one of his super special moves is he picks up the life bar and beats you with it. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen is he grabs a life bar that is your life bar and like baseball swings the other character with it. It's great. It's hard to do. He knows he's used his speech bubbles to walk on before.
Yeah.
You know, he's completely nutso. He does that in this movie. He's talking to, a couple of times he's talking to you. Now, what's really interesting isn't that he's doing that, because other movies do that, right? Ferris Bueller does that the entire freaking movie. What you don't have is him doing it, like Ferris Bueller doesn't do that in front of his friends.
Yeah.
And his friends don't react to it.
Right.
That happens in this movie.
Yeah.
He's talking to us, the audience, with other characters around him going, who are you talking to? Them. Who are you talking to? Never mind.
There's just carry on. We got to move the plot forward.
We got to move the plot forward. Yep.
Weasel has a fourth wall joke. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but he looks like he'll come in and move the plot forward. I appreciate that. But so the comic translates in really well. The origin story fits. Something fun about this movie and the way it's edited is it's nonlinear. I didn't expect that.
I didn't either. Because that first scene that was the test footage that they leaked should have been a continuous scene, right?
But it's not.
It's broken up for the first half of the movie.
Yeah, and I... It's funny, my friend Tyler, he hosts the Rewind It podcast with his buddies. He hit me up and he's been waiting for our Deadpool special for a bit. And he's like, I wanted to ask you, does it remind you of Tarantino?
A little bit.
And I paused for a second and I kind of said, that's a good point. I don't think the direction is quite there, but the non-linear behavior of this film, we're present, we're future, we're past, we're present, we're future, we're past, and it's different parts of the past. They're out of order. It's all building up to what the character is in the moment we care about.
Mm-hmm.
Super Tarantino.
And it tells the story well.
I did not know the director and the editor were going to go that way with this film. And I don't know if it was a choice after the fact, but in the comic books, that happens all the effing time.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I saying effing? I say fuck nonstop.
But that's not just in these comic books. That's in all comic books.
Yeah. So this is the first time I've actually, save for Watchmen, but I don't even want to talk about that abomination.
That movie.
Wait, was that rated R? Shit, yeah, it was rated R.
It was.
So everyone's like, Deadpool is absolutely not the first rated R. Hold on a second. This is cracking me up.
That's a good point. Is that rated R? Dr. Manhattan's big blue dick right in front of you for a quarter of the movie.
Hey man, it's blue. It's not totally real. Just remember, boobs
is on the screen.
Boobs and stuff were just PG back in the 80s.
That's true. This is actually true.
Airplane.
Because they didn't have PG-13.
No, they didn't.
You know who can tell you about that? Also on neozaz.com? Christy. She knows a lot about that bullshit.
It translates from the comics really well, and it reminds me that in the Daniel Way run, they don't talk about Deadpool's youth much. Like, you don't know much about his childhood. They go into it a little bit in Original Sin, and they talk about it a little bit in Sins of the Past. But there's a moment in the Daniel Way run of Deadpool in the stretch in the thousands, right? Ghost Rider pops up, and he grabs a hold of Wade,
and he can't take him.
And he can't take Wade down into hell.
Because Wade doesn't think he's done anything wrong. He's got no moral compass.
But what happens is that he gets a flash of his past, and you see his childhood and how rough and tumble it is. And in the story, they've never exposed this before. So you have the current, which is him versus Ghost Rider. And then you have this flashback of the past interweaving in the whole thing. And that's kind of how this movie worked. And I just love at the end of that, just as a Deadpool nerd. Yeah. Where the visions are over and Ghost Rider realizes he can't drag him to hell. Yeah. Deadpool looks up and goes, thanks for that, you fuck. Like, I didn't need to relive that shit just for nothing to happen.
Yep.
You bastard.
But that's an interesting piece because that's Ghost Rider's thing, right? He drags people to hell. That is one thing that he can do as opposed to killing them. If they feel that guilt.
Right.
He can interstitch that guilt of their own life.
Yeah.
And he does this to Deadpool, and Deadpool's like, what? You made me feel bad about shit that happened, but not anything I did.
Yeah.
Thanks, asshole.
I think the translation from the comic on this was killer. And the one part I wasn't ready for was that non-linear storytelling.
I wasn't either.
I didn't know that they were going to go that way. And it fucking works. And at first, I'm like, man, I wonder if on the editing room floor, this wasn't working. And they decided to do the nonlinear piece of it to make it work. But then you start realizing the way the script is written.
It was scripted that way.
It was scripted because the jokes are delivered on camera. It's not VO joke delivery that forced you into the past perspectives. They planned it, which that says a shitload for the writers.
Yeah.
They really are the heroes of this film. There's a reference joke in there. But
the real heroes.
They truly captured the comic flow. Right. And you might not think about that when you're watching it because you're like, oh, but the character's correct or this is good. But the storytelling is right.
Man.
And it was a big part that just blew me away. So Tyler, not Quentin Tarantino, but damn close. Just a little bit different. Yeah. I wouldn't have expected that out of Tim Miller.
So what missed for you?
Oh, boy.
Because if you want to ask me, my answer is going to be different than your answer.
As a Deadpool fanatic, honestly, the fact that he gets the girl in the end, I'm going to tell you now, my cards are on the table. I would not change one frame of this film.
Mm-hmm.
I have two issues. One,
I've seen your box of Deadpool. You've got plenty of issues.
I've got hundreds of issues and hundreds of trades. That's a good point. But my problems with the film, I have two of them. One, in order.
I hand-handed that joke.
Yeah, you did. One.
In order.
Let me just get through the list. The jokes that they had to use in the advertising, I didn't like that those in the movie, had I not been obsessed with the trailers that were coming out and all that kind of stuff. And I kind of stopped myself on the hype train.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the key jokes to sell that the movie was going to be good, it removed all of the punch when they happened in the movie.
And those were some of the better jokes in the film.
But there's other laughs in the movie that catch you totally off guard that totally make up for it.
Well, I will say that everything that they did in the trailer, there was more to those scenes.
Yes.
Every single one of them. And that, because when those scenes started, I was like, oh, okay, I've already seen this four times. Like,
but then there's enough different that you're like, oh, shit.
And then something was added, and I was like, oh, well, that was a laughter of surprise.
It was the one thing. But you know what? You can't fault them because everybody was so nervous about this film working, and then they were nervous about it working and being successful.
Mm-hmm.
You can't blame them for throwing the good jokes in the trailer.
No, no.
And you know what? $155 million opening weekend. They can take that argument all the way to the fucking bank.
To make number two.
Yeah.
So
it's like, holy shit. So, but there's enough other jokes sparsed in there. There's moments that they couldn't remotely put in that. Like, dude, when he starts punching Colossus and breaking his own limbs.
Yes.
That as the 12 days of Deadpool for Christmas, they released that page of the script. I knew it was coming. But then when it happens, it's so damn visually hilarious.
Yes.
And it just keeps going and going and going. I laughed so effing hard. I laughed so fucking hard.
Yeah.
The other thing to me, the big miss is that he ends up with Vanessa at the end.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Now, she should, and you asked me this, mm-hmm. Is Vanessa copycat?
She should be.
She should be.
Technically, Vanessa is copycat.
Here's the problem with that. You can never trust what Fox is going to do with minor characters. Yeah. And that's why Deadpool got fucked up the first time.
Yeah.
If the writers maintain complete control, Copycat will become fully developed, but her and Deadpool will split.
It's not important. Here's the thing. If they don't do a Cable movie, if they don't do an X-Force movie, which, God, I hope they don't, then it does not matter.
Wait, you hope they don't do an X-Force movie?
I don't. They will fuck that up. They will fuck it up. There's
too many people controlling X-Men that'll end up getting involved.
No way to make X-Force.
Unless they recast Psylocke. I don't like Olivia Munn as Psylocke. I know it's not even out yet. I don't like her as Psylocke. Unless they recast her and they let the Deadpool creative team do the whole thing. Do the whole thing and get Hugh Jackman the paycheck he deserves. Then, yeah, X-Force might not work. Yeah, Deadpool and Cable will work.
Yeah, but and that's the thing, and I don't think that they could do... I just don't think that they could do an X-Force well. But anyway, so...
It doesn't necessarily matter Vanessa lives to the end, and it doesn't matter that Deadpool has a spouse or a significant other at the end, but to me, I wasn't ready for that.
If they don't do that, then Copycat does not matter. So... She can die and it's fine.
Yeah.
She doesn't need to be Copycat. She can just be Vanessa.
So a friend
But here's
of mine,
the thing.
Go ahead.
Vanessa, and we talked about this, needs to die.
Right. So my question is when they move on to Deadpool and Cable and time travel becomes a factor, is Deadpool actually going to have to make a moral hero decision and then it ends up he loses Vanessa? That'd be interesting. Mm-hmm. And then the comic relief and balance between him and Cable, he might have his first on-screen mental breakdown.
And that's the thing. Something needs to... Here's the part that bugged me and what was a miss for me. Was part of what I like about Deadpool, and liked even before I really started getting into it hard like we've talked about, I've always known a little bit about him and I've liked him. I've liked the idea of him. Is that he's crazy.
Yeah.
He's... Well, and that's even open for discussion and debate... But he's not the same as everyone else in his universe.
Yeah.
He talks to himself. He has multiple personalities in his head. All of these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he got there because of the amount of pain that he's in that they didn't talk about that, but he's always in pain. And then the things that have happened in his past.
Yeah, and this is so... We're going to have a real heart... We do this on our podcast all the time, but I bare my heart a lot because... I like to be honest with listeners. That's why I love Deadpool so much. Like, I don't think I've really ever said it out loud, and it kind of goes without saying when someone's obsessed with Deadpool, this is kind of why. He is the Marvel hero I identify with, because he's not a hero. He's a fuck-up. And my entire life, I've been kind of a fuck-up, and every time I try and do the right thing, it doesn't necessarily work out. And I've struggled with mental illness my entire life. Mm-hmm. I've constantly battled back and forth with anxiety and depression, and I've always got two parts of my head compelling me to do things. The part of me that's me, mm-hmm. and the part of me that's my instincts that are wired incorrectly, trying to push me the other way. Deadpool makes me feel better about that. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel more normal. The fact that someone is great and does fuck up all the time and is multiple different people trying to do it, that's what draws me in. And what's funny is I really feel like the film did a good job capturing that for a first run. Mm-hmm. And there's so much opportunity in the future of what will happen to Vanessa and what's going to happen to Ryan Reynolds. And you start seeing some of that split, like it's there. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that translates from the comics really well. I mean, there's specific scenes that were lifted, but he has those moments of self-talking. Like he shoots the one guy and wastes his last bullet and he goes, stupid, worth it.
Yeah. But that's in the like early run before he starts breaking the fourth wall, he does have that where, but it's just talking to himself and it makes sense.
Yeah.
In this case, he does that.
Yeah.
You know, he talks to himself, but the funniest scene I thought was when he was talking to the cab driver
and Dopinder.
He was like, absolutely, you know, we need to go do this, kill him. And then, you know, but you absolutely should not hurt your cousin, murder him. And then you'll know what you need to do, kill him.
And then, you know, you need to go find your one true kidnapper. It's just, that's
could have been the voices in his head.
Yeah.
Which I'm interested in how that goes. But what my point, Vanessa needs to die because he needs to break.
Right.
He's already kind of broken, but not really. He needs to have a complete freaking meltdown. And I would be very interested if he doesn't, quote unquote, die and death gets introduced. And we talked about that a little bit. But
the problem is that I don't think that they can introduce death in the Marvel Fox franchise. I mm-hmm. think because death is so tightly related to Thanos, mm-hmm. I think Marvel and Disney, that side of the relationship, they have the rights to death.
I have the argument, is that the same death? Which I know in the bigger scope of the Marvel universe it is, because Deadpool and Thanos have a problem with each other because of it.
Yeah.
But death, I could make the argument in a legal standpoint that death is not just a comic book character.
Yeah, it's a human character.
It's subversive on all levels.
It's like folklore, folktales. Right. You can't copyright folktale.
Right.
You can't copyright.
Just because it's a female in both of these iterations doesn't mean that you can't.
I mean, maybe they just name her different. I don't know. But then again, Deadpool hasn't been immortal long enough for... Well, Deadpool hasn't been immortal long enough in this franchise for him to start being obsessed with finally dying.
Yeah. And it's not just obsessed with dying. He's in love with the personification of death.
Oh, yeah. No, he loves her to death.
And she...
Oh, my God. I didn't even mean to do that.
And she loves him. And that's the really interesting part. Now, I played the game right before the movie came out.
Yeah.
I actually rented it and beat it in 3 or 4 days. It's not that hard. Has some hard parts. But there's a whole death portion of the game where you're actually in the underworld and, you know, it's all about him and talking to his boo, mm-hmm. death. And it was really, really one of the more interesting parts of the game because that relationship is really weird. She but has it could him be fun killing as shit. People.
It could be so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
On screen.
Yeah.
And they prove that they can do multiple storylines or multiple environments really well because of the nonlinear storytelling that was in the first one. They could do him dying, quote unquote,
and having
his hallucinations with Lady Death and then sucking back into reality and going, fuck.
Right. And hallucination or not, and not really be sure because that certainly happened.
Beyond all that, but Vanessa living is weird.
Yeah.
And then my friend throughout the idea that in a certain arc of Deadpool, Vanessa is Domino.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird because Vanessa can copy someone's DNA perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And the she gets stuck as Domino. I this one arc I haven't read fully, but I wonder if they'll go that way with it. But then again, they have an opportunity to cast someone great as Domino. I don't know.
So, and that brings in, because you've got the Marvel Cinematic Universe, right? And that spans a big number of films because they have literally every superhero that Marvel has ever made, every villain that Marvel has ever made, except unless it has the word mutant in it.
Yeah.
Right? So you've got that one. That's a juggernaut. But you've got Fox that is desperately trying to fix what it's done to its X-Men franchise, which is everything that's mutant.
I mean, shit, they retconned the whole thing.
They had to, which has happened in the X-Men portion of the universe
like multiple times.
Because Jean Grey overpowered, now underpowered, now overpowered. She's too important. She's not important. That's happened a ton of times. So, but X-Men, especially in the 90s, was their biggest franchise. They had, what, 7 or 8 X-Men-related books alone? Between Wolverine, you had technically Deadpool. You have X-Force, X-Factor, X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, and what was the other one? Amazing or something like that. So there were
Astonishing.
Astonishing, that's it. So you were 2 X-Men books themselves.
So then
everyone had one-shots. Everyone had...
So then you got New Mutants.
The New Mutants,
and
right?
And you got X-Force.
Right. You've got... And then you had their biggest crossovers, X-Men and Avengers.
Yeah, X-Men versus Avengers, or Avengers versus X-Men, whichever way.
What was the Onslaught, which was a huge crossover event. You had Executioner's Song. You had Fatal Attractions, which is where, what's his face? Wolverine lost the metal in his body, which was, I thought that was genius. So you have all these things that could be a separate universe, right?
Yeah.
Even because of the licensing, okay, fine. Everything X-Men related, let's fix it. Deadpool could be in all of it.
That's the best part.
Deadpool will not be in any of it.
He's self-aware of all the different environments and where he's at. One of my favorite runs is Cullen Bunn's Night of the Living Deadpool and Return of the Living Deadpool. Mm-hmm. He knows he's at all the different Earths. Like he knows that. And Deadpool kills Marvel Universe. And then Deadpool kills Deadpool. Like he knows what he's doing. He knows where he's at. You could introduce him into any of those franchises and it's just Ryan Reynolds. And he's like, my backstory didn't matter in this universe. And it joke's over. Like we're just done. He's just there.
I'm just there. I'm in the background. Or, you know, you could have him walk on during a really tense scene, you know, X-Men scene. And he just walks on in the background, waves at the camera, walks off. Funny for the people looking for it.
Yeah.
I could see that. I wish it would happen. I don't think it will.
I hope it does, because Ryan Reynolds is so fucking in it.
Yeah.
He's so fucking in it, and he's just ready. And it's not like he's doing anything else. I mean, well, he is. He's doing independent films, and he's doing different one-offs. Like, he did The Voices a couple years ago, which is a great example of how fucking good of an actor he can be. Props to Tyler for letting me borrow it. But
never seen it.
This is his baby. Like, this is all his...
What he said.
He's going to fight to the death. He's not doing any other comic book stuff ever again.
Yep.
I'm Deadpool. Like, I am Deadpool.
Yeah.
Not much else to be said about
it. What else? What other comic book movies did he do? He did RIPD.
He did Blade.
Blade, yeah.
And then he was Green Lantern.
That was horrid. Which wasn't his fault. He did the best he could with what he had.
Yeah, and I think The Voices was a graphic novel, too.
Was it?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that real quick. The problem with the Green Lantern film, because there's no way that all of Deadpool's appearances in this were him in the suit. There were definitely a couple that were cinema whatever. And I think his face was always, wasn't it?
His eyes. Just the eyes, because they couldn't get the facial expressions with the way the mask was made.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not intensely CGI. And a lot of the scenes aren't. But when he has real drastic eye movements, like he does the one eye up, that's typically CGI on the face.
Mm-hmm.
And this is because you have to.
Yeah.
And I wonder when they do the second film, if they'll try and accommodate for that and try and design the face mask a little better.
Gotcha.
I mean, those guys are geniuses. So I'm sure they can figure it out.
Yeah. But, you know, he had to work with what he had. And I don't think it was the ultra animated you know, everything's too bright green, da da da. That was the problem with Green Lantern, because it's Green Lantern. That's what his power is, to make right. green things happen. For him, I think it was the writing of the villain. And
yeah, it's not his fault that movie wasn't great. Yeah. It really wasn't. And he catches a lot of shit. He's the one that caught the shit because he's the star.
Yeah.
But I don't think that film was his fault.
Although I'll say, and I've read this as well, Ajax, not only was he not... I didn't know who the villain was supposed to be. I talked to you and said...
he's kind of a throwaway.
I said it should have been T-Ray because that makes sense to me. But Ajax, not Francis. That was a funny joke.
The memes that have been pouring out of people fucking with soap, messing with the labels or mislabeling them in stores and stuff. It's killing me.
Just having him spell it out in his little henchman was hilarious. But, you know, Ajax being the villain, he's not very good and not a good counterpoint for... you know, for Deadpool.
See, I disagree, though. I disagree, because you don't want...
What they didn't do was say... what they should have done was ham-hand how much in pain Deadpool is all the time,
and then
somehow.
Somebody else is painless.
And then someone who's painless. One person who can heal and one person who can't.
But this is where I kind of disagree, because you have Deadpool who can heal from anything, mm-hmm. and he feels all of it. Then you have the other guy who could die just like anybody else, but can't feel
a thing.
I still felt that difference between the two, that probably could have played it a little better, but I was fine with it. Because if they would have beat it into the ground, I would have been frustrated.
Well, I
was okay. And I'm also fine that they decided to just do Ajax and Angel Dust for this, because one of them turns around and joins the X-Men, and the other one is faceless enough to allow Deadpool to kill him off at the end, however he has to, and you get some kind of sense of closure, and they didn't eliminate a major character.
Right.
T-Ray is a little bit too important for him to have played that small of a part in the film,
mm-hmm.
and just be a vehicle. T-Ray has,
it would have had to have shown up
again. It has longer term implications. So if you have a 1 hour and 30 minute movie and you throw T-Ray away like that, it wouldn't have worked.
I love how I mentioned that to you when we were talking about doing this before either of us had seen the movie. And I said, it's got to be T-Ray, right? And you're like, who? And then you're like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's kind of important.
Yeah, he does, because he's who breaks Wade.
Right.
Well,
you gotta have the conversation. Is T-Ray Wade?
Right.
Mm. Part of what makes him crazy is the fact that he doesn't know whether or not he's really who he thinks he is or not.
Right.
Yep.
But I think that's too... we're not there yet. And that's the one thing I have to keep reminding myself, is that Deadpool is an origin film.
Yep.
We are not at 100%.
Even though they said they weren't going to do that. Of course, they had to do
that. They had to do it a little bit. And the way they did it was great. And they just mostly set it up to trigger jokes.
Yep.
And to justify the final fight scene. But yeah,
So we're not going to rate it because that's what we do on our normal podcast.
Well, no, I would not change the frame of this film. Yeah. I really wouldn't. The one thing I did want to get into now as well is just to talk about the cinematography was genius.
Most of it.
The soundtrack is fucking perfect.
Yeah. So here's the thing about that soundtrack. And then we already had the one, right? We had the one song from it, and we're going to close out on a different one. But that was 1992 or something like that.
Well, and that's the joke, is that's when Deadpool was
everything
mucking
is
about.
Is in the 90s. Because that's what he does.
Right. They even did most of the just soundtrack with vintage 90s synths.
Yep.
Junkie XL did the rest of it.
I know.
The cinematography, though, I know that it's not the greatest of all time, but for a comic book movie, it felt like you were reading the frames of a comic, especially in the action scenes.
There were pieces of it, yeah.
It felt correct. And this is one of the fewer times that I've seen comic book action scenes. Like, Avengers, especially, is too busy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's way too busy.
Well, okay, so take an Avengers scene, and you've got all these things happening, right?
Yeah.
No, they happen in real time. At no point do they set anything up. So if you've got two characters punching each other,
yeah.
they're punching each other full speed for however long that happens.
And then they just cut to the other person who's in the middle of fighting.
Right. So in Deadpool, the one thing I appreciated was there were times, not that they slowed the actual action down, like went in the slow-mo or anything.
Right.
But, you know, Deadpool gets a gun stuck in his face in the middle of this car crash battle that's going on. Mm-hmm. And he looks, and there's enough for him to slow down and go, oh, shit, and duck.
Yeah.
As opposed to what would happen in Avengers, which is the shot happens and he ducks quickly.
Yeah.
There was a breaking of pace, which was appreciated.
Well, you're incorrect. He actually shrieks like a little girl and then hits the deck, which is one of my favorite moments in the movie.
No, the wedgie. In that same piece,
yeah.
The wedgie.
The wedgie's good. But I did appreciate the cinematography. Mm-hmm. It's little stuff, but it made it feel like the frames of a comic.
Yeah.
It really did.
I agree with that. I definitely agree with that.
Tons and tons of references and Easter eggs inside this damn thing.
Oh, my favorite one was, of course, the Ryan Reynolds action figure, which he sits on, which was him as Baraka Deadpool.
Yeah. My favorite, which no one's talking about, and it pisses me off, is Bob.
Bob was in it. I know.
Bob from Hydra is totally in this fucking movie.
I noticed it.
Bob is awesome.
I chuckled. But he didn't do much.
No.
He was just there.
But the fact that they set Bob up mm-hmm. is awesome because he just becomes this weird peon.
And I feel bad because when we're recording this, so the creator of Bob had a great week. You know, he Bob made it on film. He had a baby. Something else positive happened in his life. Well, 2 days ago or 3 days ago, so whatever, his apartment caught on fire. And almost all of his stuff is smoke damage, including all the stuff for the brand new baby he's got.
So if there's a Patreon GoFundMe.
Go, at the very least, find his trades. I don't know the guy's name because I'm not familiar enough, but go look that stuff up on the internets and help him because...
If you enjoyed Deadpool, just know that Bob is going to make you enjoy Deadpool too. So let's help the
Bob,
creator.
Agent of Hydra. Go back in the box, Bob.
Yeah. Bob!
We need to go back in the box.
I love Bob. The other thing is that even though they have no rights to it, the final battle all takes place on a helicarrier.
Yeah, that helicarrier, non-helicarrier thing.
Yeah. Tons of references to Liefeld. The epic battle on the highway happens on Nisienza, for Nisienza Boulevard.
Yep.
Although
I thought we had seen a trailer where he walks through the Hell House, which is the bar St. Margaret's whatever.
And says Liefeld.
He says Liefeld.
You know, Liefeld's in the movie. Liefeld's in the movie.
But I didn't hear him say that when he walked through.
Oh, he did. He does in this movie. I know. I've seen it twice.
I must have
missed it. Oh my God. There's so much. It's the little stuff they lifted directly from the comics that made me super happy. So the whole scene with him as a mercenary where he's getting that guy for bullying that girl or for stalking that girl, that is lifted directly from the Daniel Way run where he gets kicked out of the Avengers or he gets kicked out of the new Avengers and he can't make any money. So he starts taking up odds and ends jobs. And that whole thing with the pizza and the burnt crust, the fact that they did a whole scene in the movie and it was a good scene was lifted directly
from
the
pages. Deadpool instead of post him being Deadpool.
But there was lots of stuff like that. I was just thrilled that they threw in there.
The little stuff that I liked was the fact that he was Ryan Reynolds, but he mentioned Ryan Reynolds. Not just the People magazine piece,
right?
But the other one. And then how he wanted to be Wolverine, which he was mentioned.
Right.
But yet he wore...
Well, he wanted Wolverine to be around.
Yeah.
The movie couldn't afford to put Wolverine.
They could only afford two X-Men, right?
That's
and
running,
one of them wasn't even joke. A real person. Because that is something that bugged me the entire movie is, at some point, Colossus would have been powered down.
But I think in that arc, Colossus just is Steel Man, like a man of metal. I don't know. It depends on how they're going to do it. But let's be fair. Every other X-Men film that had Colossus, where he's man and then metal, they did it wrong. So at least this Colossus was remotely correct.
Yeah. He was fucking huge.
Right. Which is how it should be.
Right.
Colossus should be absurdly large.
Yeah. But he's also absurdly large when he's powered down. And that's a problem.
So I wasn't bummed out that he was.
Oh, I wasn't bummed out. It was just interesting.
I knew when people got on board for the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was going to be a hit. I figured if people would just give it a chance, this thing's just going to explode. I did not expect $155 million opening weekend. Did you expect it to blow up that hard?
With the amount of hype that happened and how I know nerds go, I didn't expect it to go quite that big, but I knew it was going to make at least double what it shot for. But that shot for 40, right?
Yeah, but that's the thing is that would have only put it at 80.
Yeah, I was expecting 80, 90.
They did twice as much as I would have even expected. So. And the funny thing is that I was stunned by the number of people posting about how awesome Deadpool was that I know in my personal life that hate comic books or don't read comic books or don't. They just went and saw it because they heard it was an adult comedy. Mm-hmm. And they came out going, holy shit, this is awesome. Now,
I was amazed at the number of people who didn't know anything about Deadpool, went and saw it and came out as Deadpool fans.
That's what that's exactly what I'm getting at. And as a guy who likes Deadpool, I'm in hog heaven because all the merch exists finally. I mean, my studio room has
the merch.
So much Deadpool shit in it. But
oh, it did already.
Yeah, but now I'm just getting influx of gifts and all that kind of stuff. And I can stock up on all the things I've wanted for so long.
I got you a watch.
Yeah, Thomas got me a Deadpool pocket watch, and it's right in the front of the Deadpool shelf I've got. But I'm happy that people are on board. Originally, I was nervous. I was like, oh, fuck, they're going to take my character and hate it. But at least the movie was correct, and they're liking him for the right reasons.
Right.
How can I possibly be upset at that? I can't.
So
welcome to the party, everyone.
Do you want to speculate on what all is going to happen? So you think there's going to be a time travel element with Cable?
Yes. I think they're going to do Cable with the time travel element because Scott Summers has to have his son. And considering that the timelines are lined up, Scott Summer and Jean Grey are normal age while Deadpool's around because of, based on Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead, they're going to have to introduce the time travel element because they're going to have to get Scott and Jean to have the kid and have Cable come back as a mid-50s, early 60s
guy. Well, yeah,
guy.
I mean, that obviously has to show up somewhere, and they can explain that away, but...
And
does he still...
Do they do more time travel after that?
Or is it broken?
I think they do. I don't think they go back and kill Hitler, right? Mm. But I think they move back and forth between the mutant timelines, and maybe they even end up in the Days of Future Past film at some point and make a joke.
God,
but,
how funny would that be?
It'll happen.
Or no, the apocalypse one.
Yeah.
How funny would that be?
They'll have to. Like, to me, when you introduce Cable, the teleportation's going to happen. So this is when Deadpool's going to finally get his damn teleporter, which is so much fun. And he does not know how to use it, or he knows how to use it in the worst ways.
Yeah.
But I think time travel will be a piece.
Yeah, he was introduced with that way back in 98. So New Mutants 98. So that's interesting. And it's fun when he doesn't have it or it doesn't work the way that he wants to because of the battery or whatever.
I think the way that Deadpool will impact X-Men is going to be extremely interesting because now Fox is going to have to review the source material and let the creators have a little bit more control and a little bit more say in how shit plays out. Case in point, Fox has already agreed if Hugh Jackman makes another Wolverine film, they will let it be rated R if they decide to choose source material that supports rated R. That is fucking huge.
Yeah, but I hate to say, but he's starting to get to the point where he should not be doing any more Wolverine.
I just think in the last couple of years, he finally nailed Wolverine as a character. I didn't think he was doing a great job of it for a long time. I think the last couple films he's finally dialed in.
I've not seen The Wolverine.
Good. It's actually good. I really liked it. Okay. I really liked it.
Yeah. I've seen all the others, and I've seen his, I've seen Days of Futures
and
Past.
You know what? Deadpool's a massive part of the death of Wolverine. So maybe they do the death of Wolverine. Hmm. And maybe they finally do a Deadpool, Cable, Wolverine crossover. Okay,
so that's an interesting point. So, and I think... We're starting to get to the point where we can probably wrap this up, but Marvel's slowly killing off the mutant franchise, the X-Men franchise.
Yeah.
They've changed some of the wording and things on the sly for some of their characters. They're not mutants anymore. They're Inhumans, and Inhumans used to be an offshoot of mutants, but now they're just their own thing.
Disney has the rights to it too, because they've already greenlit a Black Bolt and the Inhumans movie.
Yep. Well, they were going...
It's tabled, but they have the rights.
It was part of what they were going to do with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
So, you know, and as a result, right when that stuff started to ramp up, you got the death of Logan, and you have... some cancellations of some X books. I think they're trying to kill off mutants because they don't have the rights to the films. And I think they're going to hold their stance on it until
they unify everything.
Till they get the rights of the films back.
The fact that Disney got Sony to bend on Spider-Man, that's going to be big. And I'm wondering if...
Yeah, but one character and affiliated characters versus an entire franchise.
I know. But it's going to get to the point that if they do the next couple X-Men films wrong, which mm-hmm. Days of Future Past was fucking good.
Yeah.
There's a chance that they might
Apocalypse
be resurrecting it.
Looks better than I would have expected.
Yeah, I'm still not totally sold, but I'm getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Deadpool went really well. Fox is now open to letting things be rated R when they need to be rated R.
Mm-hmm.
They may have resurrected it, but I'll
tell you, Apocalypse could have written that as a rated R.
Yes. Here's what I would find interesting. Not necessarily sell the franchise back over. Build up the new world. Avengers versus X-Men.
Oh, yeah.
They can finally do AVX if both the franchises are on top. Infinity War ends. They've moved on to the new Avengers. And then X-Men, the retcon, is in full fruition.
Mm-hmm.
They can do AVX in the next 10 years. And all of the actors who are playing in the new roles will be around and of proper age to even participate.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Reynolds has probably got 20 years of being Deadpool left in him.
Mm.
I mean, he's fucking carved out of... Jeez, I did not know Ryan Reynolds was that freaking ripped.
I didn't know
huge.
He was 40.
He's 40.
I didn't know he was older than me. Like, you mother... 40. How did you get those genes, you asshole?
It's because he's Canadian.
Fuck you, Deadpool.
It's because he's Canadian.
They just make him out of preservatives?
Poutine and maple syrup. That's how you do it, dude.
Oh, God.
You think it would make it worse. You think that it would actually make you fat. No, it turns you into Ronald Reynolds. That's just how it works.
Poutine. I've not had poutine
what?
In I don't know how long.
Oh, I was just going to say, if you've had it before,
you can
stay in my
with
house.
With the gravy and the cheese curds, because you got to do it with both.
I think that the residual effect, even on the DC side of things and on the Marvel side of things, is they're going to be more... open to rated R shit because Deadpool works so freaking well.
Mm-hmm.
And if X-Men expands out and takes that approach, because
speaking of, is Suicide Squad PG or 13?
It's going to be PG-13.
13?
Okay. And I don't think it'll be any good. Yeah, I'm going to say it. I'm not thrilled by the way it looks.
That's another thing that we need to talk about. There's like 10 comic book movies this year.
Yeah. Because Gambit, Doctor Strange.
Gambit. I'm so looking forward.
I am looking forward to Gambit. That'll be a good test to see what the hell they do with the X-Men franchise now.
Batman v Superman, Suicide Squad.
The DC side Deadpool. Doesn't have me totally thrilled, but I will see them. They will get the money out of my pocket, and I'm going to give them an absolute fair chance. I'm just saying that the ads have not sold me yet, but I will let the film do its own speaking.
So that's five alone. You got
Civil War,
so that's six. There's a couple more that I just can't. Even.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch. Because doesn't The Kingsman 2 come out this year too?
I don't know.
And that's comic book. There's a whole bunch. And it's going to be a good year. But Deadpool kicked it all off. And they set the bar really fucking
really
high.
Like,
it's through the freaking roof.
I'm entirely impressed with how good that movie was. I was expecting it to be funny. But, you know, one of those is like, well, he got it out of a system.
And that's the last thing I really wanted to talk about. Well, two more things. Number one, which goes without saying, we'll just say it this once. Ryan Reynolds has become Deadpool.
Yeah.
And thank God. Because he's crushing it.
There's a petition out there for Ryan Reynolds to... No, I'm sorry.
For Deadpool.
To host SNL, which he responded to in a funny way. It's never going to happen.
No.
But I could see it.
I could see them getting...
funny.
I could see him getting Ryan Reynolds to do it. And I could see them having Deadpool show up
mm-hmm.
in the episode a few times.
Even both of them next to each other.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Easily.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, correct. The Late Late Show just did the Deadpool and the other Deadpool team up. I can't remember what it's called, but it's fantastic. I will send it to you. We can post it up, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But Ryan Reynolds is now officially pretty much just Deadpool. Like, that's just who he is and what he's doing.
And I'm okay with that. Yeah. Oh, so I played the game. You know what really made me mad?
Mm-hmm.
Nolan North's voice.
Really?
Which I like Nolan North, but I'm listening to him. I'm like, yep, nope. I hear Nathan Drake.
Okay. So if you're going to do Deadpool with multiple voices in his head,
yeah,
I like him as the crazy voice, and I like him as the tame voice, right? The British proper voice is his voice of
was
reason.
Was that all three of them him?
I think so. I think he played all three, and I really like him as Deadpool's crazy side.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like whoever's that British actor, or if it's him, I like who does Deadpool's, you know, voice of reason, which usually typically has a British accent. It's supposed to be Madcap, is stuck in his head.
The other one was Dr. Bong, by the way. I've looked that up since then.
I do prefer Ryan Reynolds as the Deadpool voice. Like, when I read the comic, that's whose voice is in my head. And it has been for a long time. It was a nondescript sarcasm, but it wasn't a loud, obnoxious voice. It was more sly, calm, and then you can tell when he's yelling and when he's arguing with himself, it shifts. So, I don't know. I have mixed feelings on that. Because he plays him in a lot of the cartoons and stuff, though, too.
Nolan North does, yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
Which is why, that's why he was cast.
Yeah.
And what's really funny is, of course, Deadpool calls Nolan North to tell him that you're doing the voice for me and my game, Meta. But he also makes a joke about Ryan trying to friend request him. It's like, no, Ryan, I'm not going to be your friend. He doesn't say Ryan Reynolds. But it's very obvious that he's talking about that. And I thought that that was great.
Yeah, but the last vestige, the last thing I wanted to talk about is what did this look like for you as a non-insider leading up to this film? Like, what hype was built for you? How did you feel about the movie when you saw it? Did it turn you into a fan? Did it, I don't know. What is your perspective on this movie, how it came to be, and then how it ended up?
Well, I mean, I like the idea of this guy. So it's not like he turned me into a fan, because I was already kind of a fan. But I will say that it opened up the doors for me to go and find every single comic book with Deadpool in it ever and start reading.
Which is more than I can say that I even own, because there's a shitload out there.
Yeah. And I read some stuff that wasn't necessarily related just so that I can understand what's going to happen in the future, which was a bit much. By the way, X-Force is a boring book, at least the early stuff. I didn't like it. It was just like, really? Come on, guys. So, yeah, I mean, I got a bit more awareness as a result, but the story that they talked about, I already knew.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was a lot of fun. It was... it was fun to watch him go, as far as Ryan Reynolds, go as crazy as he did with it and kind of just get free rein to do whatever. But my favorite part of Deadpool they didn't touch on, and that is his psychoses and his inner voices are my favorite things. Him arguing with himself is great.
Well, and that only really is in the comics for a short period of the canon. Now, if you're talking about the voices in his head, if you're talking about the constant arguing with himself, yeah, that's present the whole time.
No, I'm talking but
there's more glimpses. I mean, there are glimpses that's where it's going to go. And that's what I'm saying. Like that small scene where he's like, oh, that was stupid. Worth it. Like, it's the little shit like that. It shows that they can start working it in. And yeah, I think Vanessa going, something happening to Vanessa. It's got to break his brain.
No, that's got to be part of what happens next. He's got to have a full-on breakdown. He's got to do some crazy shit in front of other people that we see, we understand. Like, we got to see him rewinding the Deadpool movie or something.
I can't wait for on the Blu-ray when there's Deadpool commenting over Deadpool. It's going
to
happen.
I was just talking to your wife about that when, as excited as I was for the movie, you know, I took a day off so I could go see it, right?
Yeah.
As fun as that was, this is nothing because the ultimate Deadpool experience is going to be the Blu-ray. And that's
they've said they're going to put so much extra footage in that thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to watch every second. Hopefully it's got about as much extra shit as Scott Pilgrim did.
But Deadpool commenting over Deadpool has to happen. Or if not, they've done something wrong.
Oh, they'll do it. They have to do it.
Yeah.
They should do it Mystery Science Theater style. And there's a whole second way you can watch it where you just see the chairs and you just do it exactly like MST3K.
That's a good idea. Or a second screen experience.
If they did it as a Riff Tracks kind of thing, mm-hmm. where Ryan Reynolds did, I would go see it, a special style screening like that. I totally would.
It'd be fun to have Ryan Reynolds as the actor talk about his experiences and then Deadpool come in and like kill him. Ryan Reynolds. No, that would be great.
They'll do
kill
it.
Ryan Reynolds. I am now Ryan Reynolds.
That's exactly what they have to do. I want this now.
Right. You didn't even know you wanted until I said.
Who are they going to cast as Cable?
if it wasn't for the amount of action that I'm sure Cable's going to have to do, I think the best runner for it, and you're not going to agree with me, Kevin Nash.
Really?
Kevin Nash looks to me like what I think Cable looks like.
Kevin Nash? I didn't see that coming at all.
You've not seen that?
No.
Jumping around the internet?
Not at all.
The problem is that Kevin Nash has always been a big wrestler, so he's never really nimble, and he's broke down a bit.
See, but all right. So, I've been in arguments.
But by the way, Kevin Nash was in Grandma's Boy.
Yeah.
The movie that you made me watch a couple weeks ago, or this week. Actually, yeah, this week. So, and he was there, and I was just laughing because he's eating cereal. I was like, Lindsay looks at me and says, he's a big dude. That's Kevin Nash. That's Diesel. Diesel. Come on.
I'm seeing a whole new side of you right now. I didn't know that you liked...
I was a huge wrestling fan back in the day.
I didn't know that.
I'm not anymore.
So,
only because I can't spend the time on it.
I'm a massive proponent for Stephen Lang, who was...
That's the dude from Avatar, right?
Yeah. I have said for a long, long time...
He would be good.
He would be great as Cable, and as long as his body holds up, because he's like 63. And that's about how old Cable is. That's about how old Cable is. If he can keep his body together for the next 5 to 7... I'm serious, like for the next 5 to 7 years to do a couple of movies as Cable...
That's the problem that you have is you get somebody who's that age to do the movie, they're not going to be able to do the things that Cable could do or is going to need to do in the movie.
So
can they last?
I have two other people I think could do it.
Kevin Nash.
Now, I had someone throw at me Sean Bean, but I don't know how I feel about that.
I could see it.
My A number one.
He'd have to change his accent.
My A number one is Stephen Lang.
Yeah.
My number two is Till Schweiger. Now, Till Schweiger was in Inglourious Basterds. Till Schweiger was the giant Nazi-killing German that they broke out of prison.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He is motherfucking Cable.
Yeah.
And he's 6'6", and he weighs 325 pounds.
Yeah,
He's big enough to pull it off.
He's big enough, but I don't see it.
And then my outlier choice, which I could see happening, is The Walking Dead. The big, tall redhead.
Yeah, I
know. With the handlebar mustache.
I can't remember his name, but yeah.
His name is slipping me.
I know his character's name, but that's not going to help anybody.
He could absolutely play Cable, and he's tall enough, and he's young enough, and he's a good enough actor.
That's the thing. He's just a little too young.
He could 100%. They can age him.
But you know what? His demeanor is right, too, because when he was walking around in... Recently, you've not seen it. He was walking around in military uniform. And dress blues for The Walking Dead. And I could see it. That would be a good choice, too.
Yeah. Michael Kudlitz. Michael Kudlitz. Kudlitz. Yeah. He plays Abraham. He 100,000% could be Cable.
Now look up Kevin Nash.
I did look up Kevin Nash. And I'm just going to say gently, I disagree with you. I don't think he can do it.
Why?
We're both on our phones like, oh, no, here's no, this guy's better.
Definitely, I could see him as Cable. I'm sorry.
I disagree.
I see the character. I can definitely see it. But I don't see him jumping around and running around and bullshit.
We'll find out soon because they're already writing the script for Deadpool 2. We already know that they're going to put Cable in it. And we know that they're going to set up X-Force with it. So
they are going to do an X-Force
Ryan
movie?
Ryan Reynolds wants to do an X-Force, but it's not going to be the next movie. The next movie will be Cable, and my assumption is it will set up X-Force. And they will bring Hugh Jackman in. Question: I know, dude. I just looked up pictures of Kevin. I know. I don't want to. No. I don't want Kevin Nash as Deadpool, or as Cable. I don't see it.
Right.
I see it, but I don't see it.
All right.
Damn it.
So X-Force.
Yep.
So with what? Domino and Shatterstar and...
Psylocke. Wolverine.
Well, okay, Psylocke.
Psylocke, Wolverine, Deadpool, Cable. That would be my premiere. That would be who I put in it.
What about
there's a couple extras.
Cannonball.
Cannonball would be shitloads of fun.
You kind
of
have to do Cannonball,
you have
right?
to put Cannonball in. He'd be fun as shit.
And then what's the only other one that I know of is Sunstar, and Sunstar's kind of
Sunstar you could do. It would be a little bit more secondary, but yeah, Cannonball you have to throw in there.
Well, if you do Cannonball, then you've got to do Boom Boom, right?
Yep. Cannonball and Boom
Boomer.
Yep, that'd be fun as shit.
And the rest of them, honestly, I could care less
about.
Yeah,
as long as Wolverine's there, Cable's there, Deadpool's
there. They don't need Shatterstar.
No. Psylocke can come or go, but you know that Olivia Munn's demanding to be Psylocke more. Mm-hmm. She wants a standalone film, yeah. Which I'm going to hold my reservations.
I like Psylocke, but...
I do, but I'm not the biggest Olivia Munn fan, so I got to see her pull it off. I don't
know. You just want to see her in the leotard.
No, I don't.
Purple leotard.
But, yeah, that'll be interesting. And Days of Future, or not Days of Future, but Apocalypse will be interesting.
You know, and what's funny about that whole soliloquy is I'm not a big fan of Jennifer Lawrence. I don't know why. She's good and stuff.
See, I've just never been thrilled by her either.
Yeah, but as
Mystique?
Mystique.
She crushes it.
She's really good.
She crushes it. Yeah. So. I think she's good.
But this has been our Deadpool special where we talk about everything but Deadpool. Which is pretty much how our negative one
show goes. We're really good at rambling, but... We really, really wanted to do this. I really wanted to put my thoughts out there on this. I wanted to see who cares out there. And I just wanted chances to talk about freaking Deadpool for once. So
it's fun.
I would like to invite everybody to check out our podcast, the Negative One Podcast. We literally just make each other watch shit we've missed. But it's fun and it's stupid and we talk about dumb shit we've been through. If you listen to one episode, you can hear about the time someone lost their dentures in my stall when I was pooping.
That's a thing that happened to me. Yep. And we could talk about, how many times that we've had problems with our psychotic exes.
But we would like to welcome everybody to come listen to that and check it out.
And if you're just getting this by typing Deadpool into iTunes because you're interested in this new character or wherever you're getting your podcast from, I'd invite you to check out all of the NeoZazz.com family of shows.
Yes, we are absolutely thrilled to be part of this network. Tons of awesome shows and specials. SWIC, Muppets and Character. There's so much awesome stuff. Dial-up movies.
You've got Grady's. You've got... Matt Has Questions.
Yes.
Which is great.
But we're proud to be part of the network and doing more. So we're thrilled. We'll see you guys on NeoZazz.com. You can always hit us up at neg1cast@gmail.com or Twitter at neg1cast.
Yep. And you know what? I'm not even going to sweat that much because this isn't a negative one podcast episode. Hit up neozaz.com if you really, really like the content. If you see other things that you like, look them up on Patreon as well, patreon.com/neozaz. We'll continue to make content as long as we can.
Little donations go a long way, and they're greatly appreciated. But we'll see you guys on the Negative One Cast. And if this goes well, man, we're totally going to start doing some NeoZazz nerd specials.
I'll tell you, we'll see you in 2 years for Deadpool 2.
Boom. Happening. Take care, ladies and gentlemen.
Bye. Hi, Tom.
Yeah. What's your name? Damn, baby. That sounds sexy.
Here I go again, girls, man. What's my weakness?
Dead.
Okay, then chillin', minding my business. Your soul, I looked around and I couldn't believe this. I swear, I stand, my niece, my witness. The brother had it going over something kinda wicked. Had to kick it. I'm not shy, so I asked for the digits. I hope no, that don't make it.
NeoZazz.com.